Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are fighting back inside a museum come to life. Richter's conversation with the demon has continued. Red killed a mannequin samurai and was gifted her first katana. And Adrian defeated the Bone Dragon, King Tut, and is now fighting Teddy Roosevelt to the death. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Richter, your arms are bleeding as the world of kind of your mind around you begins to unravel. You can see glimpses through the kind of shredding walls of this kind of space you've created. Glimpses of the past, of Ingrid, of the church, of that time that little Tracy Jones stole your spoons, of the lascivious glance of Jessica Fletcher, of your childhood in Germany, where presumably you and Ingrid kind of always hoped you'd find a witch, but never did, no matter how many woods you searched. The German myths lied. But your eyes are transfixed on the Sally creature as more and more of these eyes begin to open across her face. And Richard, you're generally a pretty curious fellow. Mm-hmm. What do you think is running through your mind right now? Because I feel like for some people, kind of the collapse of a dream would be a truly like, oh no, what am I going to do? I need to get out. But I feel like based on the fact that when confronted with like a nightmare monster, your first instinct was like, I would like to ask some questions, please. What do you think is going through Richter's, like Richter in his own mind's conscious mind right now?
I think he's trying to figure out if he's speaking to Sally having undergone some kind of metamorphosis or transformation, or if he's speaking to something that has appropriated Sally's likeness or something in between, if Sally and Croatoa have merged somehow.
Right. Okay. Okay. Can you roll me an education check, please?
And that's one of the stats up.
That's
at
just
the top,
a straight
right?
characteristic. Yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Because this isn't like an idea that's sprung up for you. This is just like a thing you're, I think, trying to wrap your head around.
Yeah, that's a regular success.
Okay, great. So as kind of like a man calmly sipping tea in a tornado, which again, I think is a very Richter moment based on kind of...
I think in his mind, that's what he would be doing.
Well, yeah. Also just even talking about our like, even in our earliest episodes, talking about, you know, how he responds to things, where it is just kind of this calm, like, curious nature. Even as the whole thing is collapsing, I think you're also aware you no longer have power over it, so it's not anything to concern yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And as you focus, you see that this kind of thing running at you over the creature's shoulder, and suddenly for the first time you see all of its eyes narrow and turn, but it's a moment too late as this figure leaps into the air and kind of like just full body tackles the Sally Crotone creature into the table. And looking up, you see an exhausted, filthy, but very much alive Benny, who reaches forward with a hand that is floating an inch from his wrist. There's a visible gap between them. And he grasps your upper forearm. And he just looks at you and he says, "It's both of them. She's become the forgotten god." And then suddenly the fingers spear through the side of his face. And as his eyes roll back up into his head, he pushes and you fall backward. And as you do so, when your back hits the ground, suddenly the entirety of this world is gone. You open your eyes just in time to see your hands holding a beautiful but also incredibly horrific idol. Of a creature, kind of with a thin, like very much an H.R. Geiger kind of body, like less in the vein of kind of a xenomorph from Alien, but actually closer to that thing that like the faux alien from Prometheus, if you've seen that film. It's kind of long, pointed head, but very much the kind of alien hunched shoulders, skeletal body. And it's an intricately carved idol of a creature that looks like this. And you awake to find your hands and arms covered in broken glass, blood flowing freely from them. You've clearly punched through a display cabinet. And as you awaken, your hands go wide, your fingers spread, and the idol drops, hitting the ground and shattering. And as it does so, you hear in your very core a hiss and a voice say, "I don't know who you are, but you will regret that." And suddenly you're in a museum. You're not sure where you are. Last time you were consciously awake, you were being fed drugs. In an office, you're still dopey. Your hands, again, like you've got shards of glass throughout your arms. You seem to be standing in an Aztec exhibit, and this idol has shattered at your feet. What do you do?
I think I collapse as all the sensory overload kind of comes back. Like, I'm awake and there's alarms blaring because I think someone pulled the alarm way back, like
they did,
4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, trust
ago.
Me, that's coming yeah. in at the end of this one.
The alarm's blaring. I hear the din of combat. My arms are just shaking. They're just, it just feels like exposed nerves from the elbow out. I'm a wreck. So I think my legs give out and I hit, and I just kind of go fetal as I try and clutch my arms into my, I'm wearing like a long coat, right? Like, and just like kind of folding in on myself to kind of contain the blood, but also foolishly probably pressing glass further into me. Like, I'm just a mess.
I understand. It's a reflex. Yeah. So you're gonna take 3 points of damage, from the glass. And I'm going to need another sanity check there, sir. Sorry to keep pinging you on that, but Richter's having a rough day for that.
This would have been a pass if I hadn't lost sanity already, so that's a fail.
Oh, buddy.
Maybe I'll spend luck to get me there. You can do that for sanity checks, right? Yeah.
I'll let you do it in this case. You've been through some shit today. So you'll only take 1 point of sanity damage from passing. And as you lay there, again, you can feel the edges of your mind beginning to fray. You feel like you're going to fail. You're still like, the drugs are still very much in your system. You're just, it's pretty bleak for Richter,
yeah.
Which is when you feel a comforting squeeze on your arm, and looking down, Benny's hand is wrapped around it. Just squeezing comfortingly. I will note, this is the first time the hand has moved
in my,
that you've been
line
able to
of
observe
sight.
It.
Yeah.
Also, last you saw it, it was lost in a weird tunnel of pages. So
yes.
Shit has changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looked like it had been returned to him in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's here again.
Might be some kind of gift from an old friend.
I'm going to reach up and take the hand in mine. Just as something to squeeze, as probably like I fade in and out of consciousness.
Yep. And it just interlocks fingers with you. And much like Ingrid used to do when you were having nightmares or bad dreams, it squeezes and gives you a degree of comfort. Mm. Meanwhile, Red, you found a comfort of a different sort. It's an ancient Japanese sword, which, although not your normal MO, is a nice thing to have when one is missing their other pistol.
Absolutely.
You can hear the sounds of battle from the other room. You're hearing Adrian just yelling. And also like the sound of like the clashing of swords.
Mm-hmm.
To your shock and horror, musket fire. What do you do?
Okay. I would like to, with 2 health, do you think I have the strength to put on like some armor?
Yeah. I generally speaking, my kind of rules with health in this game are like, particularly because we're doing pulp Cthulhu and not just, if it was just straight Cthulhu, it'd be like, no, like get to hospital now or you're done.
Yeah.
But I kind of like to imagine this being either the Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor in T2, where it's like just fucking wrecked, but being like,
let's
okay.
Go.
Or like John McClane limping to go confront Hans at the end of Die Hard, where it's just like the dude's done. Like his leg's fucked. Like he's just toast, but you're still up. And I really feel like I imagine Red is very much the kind of person who like, if she were to succumb to her wounds, would do so while like running somewhere.
Yes.
So I think this is like, yeah, you're fucked up, but I believe it. Here's the question, Claire. What armor does Red put on?
Oh, I think it's going to be a weird, slightly anachronistic with her samurai sword, but I think she's going to put on
some plate. We've played video games and lived through the 2000s. We know.
Put on some plate mail here.
Okay, I
like
will need
keeping your arms free. Just basically, I think I want a breastplate.
Yeah.
And
do you take a helmet of any sort?
Yeah.
with the katana. That's a Soul Calibur custom character right there. That's,
right?
Yeah, that's God perfect. Right.
Eat it, Valdo.
Get at us, Valdo Twitter. Yeah. That one I think is a real thing. So brace yourselves. Okay, what does the helmet look like, Claire?
Ooh, it has a big feather at the top.
I was really hoping you were going to say that because that's where my head was at too.
A big red feather. And it has a slot for eyes. You know what it is? It's a Roman helmet.
With
the feather, and it has protection all around, but the face is cut out so she can see.
Yeah. So like a centurion helmet.
Yeah.
All right. So are we going like push broom? Like hair or just like a single feather?
A single feather.
Ah.
The nerd in me goes, not Roman.
I know.
Admittedly,
my history.
Rome absorbed a bunch of random places. It this was did. Just one of the cool, like, it's like a Mandalorian who has different shit on their helmet. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. Plus, it's a museum in the 1930s. I'm pretty sure they stitched half a manatee to an otter in the other room. We're like, mermaid, am I right? So, like, I buy this.
Yeah, say it's bullshit, but when that thing comes to life and we have to fight it, like, it's all real.
Stop spoiling my episodes, damn it. So, Claire, you put on your anachronistic helmet of anachronism plus one. You take your sword, you take your armor, and you stalk angrily.
Yes.
Into.
I'm fucking pissed. She is so mad. This is just supposed to be a good old museum heist where they get the whiskey and go, and now there's this nonsense. So I want to go make sure Addie is alive.
So you walk into this room to see a bunch of mannequin knights fighting a giant skeletal T-Rex and a bunch of guys dressed in cavalry gear on horseback fighting everyone. And Addie is leaping through the air at Teddy Roosevelt, who is a wax figure, not a mannequin, because that's how the movie was. Who has drawn his cavalry saber and is prepared to engage. Mm-hmm. That's where we find ourselves. But before we find out what Red does, let's find out what Adrian does. Adrian, you were leaping through the air at Teddy Roosevelt, your arch nemesis since last episode. go ahead and roll a brawl.
That is a hard success.
Teddy.
It's all been leading up to this between you and your arch rival, Theodore Roosevelt.
Teddy fails his dodge check. Ryan, describe to me what happens and then roll your damage.
All right, so he's leaping through the air, and I feel like Teddy Roosevelt is trying to do like a strike, and Adrian almost double overhanded ends up, because instead of doing what a swords person would do, he's just stabbing 300 style with no defense, and he accidentally blocks the strike just from bringing his heavy blade to bear. And then the large like quillens above his hand just catches Teddy's blade, and he hammers it back. So his sword, again, he's just learned down and through. Like, he's got a good system. It's stabby cutty, and then he's fine. So let's see what happens.
It's like chopping wood.
That is 9 damage.
9 damage. All right. You cut into like.
Oh, and I feel like with the way he leapt, he'd probably tackle him off the horse.
Oh, don't worry, bud. We're getting there. So you crash into Teddy, and your blade slices through, I shit you not, Little Texas, Teddy Roosevelt's horse. You drive your blade down through, and he just says, "No, not Little Texas." And the two of you clatter to the ground as the stuffed fake horse like falls apart with stuffing falling out. You hear one of the knights be like, "Sire, we think we've found Merlin." You clatter to the ground with Teddy Roosevelt. Red, you watch Adrian Diesel cut a fake horse in half and collapse to the ground with Teddy Roosevelt. The rest of the Rough Riders look pretty pissed about that. And then suddenly, through the entrance to the south, you see a knight rushing, carrying, like firemen carrying Richter, who is bleeding profusely and seems to be kind of drifting in and out of consciousness. What do you do?
Oh my God. If I fired my gun multiple times in the air, would people be able to hear it right now?
Absolutely not. Muskets are being fired. There's lots of weird shit going on.
Okay. Then I'm going to make my way. I would like to intercept the knight before he brings Richter into a battle.
Okay. Claire, I'm also going to give you some very good news on the red front. Given the fine balance and expert craftsmanship of a katana, I'm going to let you use it the way you would use your handgun in terms of skill-based things. So, because it is a finesse weapon, similar to D&D letting you use dex, if you're slashing, not stabbing, you can use it using that skill.
So, remembering how much Tom hated when people picked up swords and were instantly good with them, we are going to do that same thing.
Admittedly, Red threw away a pistol like 2 episodes ago, and I'm still not over it, so I can only imagine how mad you
hurt.
Must be.
It hurt me. Yeah. So, you mean I'll be playing with, like...
You'll be able to roll with your firearms roll rather than your brawl.
Awesome.
I also hate putting characters in like incredibly dire situations and being like, none of your skills count.
Yeah.
With Addy, I'm like, he can brawl his way out of this. With Red, I'm like, I don't want Claire to make a new character unless she really has to, which you might, but let's see how it rolls.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror anthology Magenta Presents.
Or season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dum Dums and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
That's right. That address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Okay, so you're going to rush to the knight carrying
Richter. Yeah, so it's just, she's going, like, she's sticking to the outside, but she's just going full Terminator. Somebody gets in her path, she's just fucking cutting him down. Like, right. I don't care who it is or what it is.
Fantastic. So you cut your way to the knight, who is again, like, coming in. And he's like, I found Merlin and also some mystical creatures. At which point, the knight gets tackled to the ground by a seal stitched to a manatee. That's right. You got to fight a 1930s sideshow mermaid. Did I watch Cabin in the Woods a couple days ago? Maybe. It's fine. Yeah, there's a weird, shitty half mermaid on this knight's back. The knight falls to the ground, spills Richter out. Richter, you just roll. I assume you're still pretty much out of it. So it's just like,
anybody can take me anywhere they want to. Yep.
Red, Richter has just taken a spill. There's a weird fake mermaid. What do you do?
Is the weird fake mermaid currently occupied fighting the knight?
Oh, hell yeah. It's going to town on that night. It is truly the greatest show.
then I'm going to attempt to drag Richter towards the exit of, like, towards the loading bay area.
Sure.
Of this room. Because he's just a dead weight at this point, and I can't afford to worry about dead weights.
Okay. So, are you trying to, dragging, I think, is probably right. I don't think you could lift him.
I can't carry
him. What weapon are you going to put away?
That's a good question. I don't have a sword holster.
We can assume you can slip it through something. It's just a matter of, like, which weapon do you want in hand? Is it
good? I would do as a kid and put it through like a belt loop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
of my fisherman pants.
Look, if I've learned anything, pants are sword proof. So
great. Yes, I put the sword away. It's way too unwieldy.
Okay, great. So now it's, you're literally just doing like the fucking World War II, like, Private Ryan hand. Drag.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
Great. So, Claire, go ahead and roll me a firearms handgun, please. And this is just going to, we're going to take this as like how it goes for you shooting your way out of this melee.
That's a hard success.
Great. So again, I think like none of this is that heroic. It's all just like cranky, like I have to take out the trash before the garbage truck gets here. It's just like dragging him, like shooting a knight, like shooting a rough ride, or like shooting a stuffed horse. You like blow away a small dinosaur. It's like a pterodactyl. You're just like, no, shoot in the head. And as you drag him, kind of you get him to the Tutankhamun exhibit because you know there's a loading dock beyond it. Mm-hmm. And suddenly knights show up on either side and they're like, your highness, we've come to help both you and the wizard Merlin. We've also brought these mystical rocks that King Adrian of the realm told us could possibly put an end to this nightmare.
Excellent. My dear subjects, require you to take Merlin and deliver him to the dock. And she's gonna kind
of, are there boats nearby, Highness?
No, where the strange vehicles go with the four wheels.
Ah, the horse
in a British
wagons.
Accent now. Whoops.
I don't know what you mean. There's no accents here. We all sound like this. Except the Germans. Well, we've got our issues with them, I'll tell you what. But not with Merlin.
She's gonna take the stones, the tablet, shove him in Richter's coat or pockets or whatever he has, and then just kind of like be like, I need you to get him to safety, to that door over there, and just make sure no one can get to him. Do you understand me?
They both nod. Also, I should point out this tablet's like a fucking big tablet, but it's in two pieces, but that's fine. They pick him up. They're big mannequins. They grab him and they take off running. You turn back to see Adrian facing down his arch nemesis, Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy's going to take a swing at you, Ryan, with his saber. I just need to look up some stats for a second here. What do you think, Ryan, based on your leadership as Adrian, what do you think the knights around you, how are they fighting? Are they doing well against the cavalry? Or are they doing badly? What's going on?
I think the knights are probably doing pretty well because from what we've seen of Claire shooting the samurai, the muskets won't put a knight down. So they can just get shot and keep fighting according to logic of not getting killed by decapitation. Like the armor would be a weird advantage in this fight. But I do think they get distracted because if they manage to bring down a rough rider, the knights start arguing over who gets to keep the horse because they're all on horse right now. And they would definitely want horses.
All right. Excellent. So, Teddy Roosevelt, brings his, saber up, and looks back at little Texas, with a waxy tear in his eye. And he just says, nothing in this world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, and difficulty. I intend to bring you all three, and he tries to stab you directly in the face.
Yeah, I feel like Adrian just bellows right back in his face, you made me hurt a pony.
Go ahead and roll a dodge, please, bud. See how much damage you can mitigate.
That is a success.
Okay. So you'll take a little bit less, but you're still going to take a bunch because you rolled very, very well. You're going to take 11 points of damage.
Does my armor take off too, as it has previously?
It does indeed, yes.
Dope.
So 9 points of damage as he tries to drive his cavalry saber down into you. Unfortunately, you are wearing full plate. So there's one thing we know about cavalry swords, not great at stabbing. So kind of like it still cuts along the side of your neck rather deeply, but it does shear the blade away from your vital organs. So you're bleeding openly now. But the good news is Teddy's sword is stuck in the ground. Adrian, what do you do? Slash Red, what do you do? Because you're coming in to help. So we'll do Adrian's round and then your round, Red, as you rush in.
I feel like Adrian, he's got cut. He hates that. Teddy's stuck. I feel like he would kick him over onto his back and then try to bring the sword down and just take his whole head off.
Cool. Full headsman slash?
Yeah.
Cool. And Red, what are you doing as you rush in?
Okay, so my goal is I want to see, are there any bottles of whiskey around me?
We can say you picked one up on your way back from Merlin.
Cool. So in one hand I have a bottle of whiskey, and the other hand I have a samurai sword, and she just wants to stalk over, cut this guy down, grab Adrian, and get the fuck out.
All right, so with bottle in hand, Adrian's like doing that classic like sword versus sword push, and you walk over and just slash through the side of fairly recent president, recently dead president Teddy Roosevelt, knocking him down onto his back. Then you just take a big swig of whiskey and just kind of gesture broadly at Adrian. And Adrian, you raise that sword up. What do you say as you decapitate beloved President Teddy Roosevelt?
I just say, take this, Mordred. And then I cut his head off.
Amazing. So you drive the blade down, lopping his head off at the neck. At which point you kind of like chest heaving, look up, having defeated Mordred, having truly ended the nightmare of the Knights of the Round Table. Only to see George Washington and Abraham Lincoln storming in, axes in hand. Richter, you're on the loading dock. Man, that Hall of Presidents, bad fucking call. You have two knights with you, which I think would be stranger if you were kind of in your right mind. But they're holding out a broken tablet to you and just saying, please, Wizard Merlin, you must help us. Apparently you have the power to stop this.
I'm a wizard?
Yes, you are the Wizard Merlin. The mummy Gary told us so.
Gary's mother, I'm a Merlin. But was ist das? And I gesture to the tablet.
Looking down, you see letters and shapes shifting and moving on this broken tablet. It reminds you a bit of the occult tomes you've looked at.
Okay. I'm still a little loopy, so I'm like, hold it still. You're moving it too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally with you. Makes sense. Richter, as you... can you roll me, please, an idea, so an int check?
78 is a success.
Okay. You managed to kind of like focus enough to know that even though, I mean, I guess you're Merlin and these knights need you to do something. And you realize that as long as this tablet remains broken, whatever bullshit is happening will continue to happen. Based on kind of how Richter approaches things, how do you think Richter tries to fix this broken tablet or end this curse that seems to be afflicting everyone? I will give you advantage on this because you did charm everyone against curses.
It's in two big chunks, this tablet?
Yeah, like think in my head, it's just a fucking like Ten Commandments tablet. Like it's a Rosetta big stone tablet. Yeah, like a Rosetta Stone that's been broken in half. Not unlike the tablet from Night at the Museum. But it's broken in half, and you can see words swirling over it. So clearly it's infused with occult energy. You don't necessarily understand it. You can either try and focus your mind to understand what's written. You can try and repair it. What do you think Richter would do?
He would probably want to understand it before doing anything else.
Okay. So go ahead and roll me an occult check, please.
Occult. This might be a hard success. It's not. It's a regular success.
Regular success. Okay. So you, as you focus, it begins to slowly kind of form into things you can understand. And it's not a language you recognize, but it is definitely something that visually, as long as you're focusing on it, you get the rough intent. You realize that there seems to be a seal on it. So the tablet itself seemed to have gone off when it was dropped. But there is, as is always the way with cursed objects and these sorts of things, there is a way to essentially recork the bottle. Based on everything you've just been through, this will require you to risk your mind yet again. But do you think you would do it?
Yeah.
So reading aloud the words, you attempt to bring this hullabaloo to an end. Go ahead and roll me a sanity check. What I will say, Tyler, is either way you're going to succeed.
Just how much
it just depends on what the cost is.
Yeah. The back of my head explodes. It's a success.
Hey. Great.
Yeah.
So you will you'll lose 8 sanity, but you will gain 8
mythos. Okay.
I rolled a d8 instead of a d12. So good news is could have lost more. Bad news is I still rolled an 8.
Tyler, what's your sanity at now, buddy?
I'm just I apologize. I'm just a little bit fried. I'm actually going to have to take out my calculator app to do this very simple arithmetic.
Oh, no. Just, all good, buddy. I don't need to know for now. That's a
Oh, I just know. I know. I'd want to know because then I bet some listeners would want to know.
Right. I'm at 18 sanity.
Nope. I'm glad I asked.
Fair enough. So, Richter, you form the words Klaatu Virata Nictu. And suddenly, the two halves snap together, decapitating one of the knights. The tablet sends off a pulse, and suddenly, Red, you've buried your katana to the hilt in the chest of George Washington.
Yeah.
Addy, you and Honest Abe are locked in like close combat, fighting back and forth. And suddenly they freeze up. And Adrian, just with full rage, you just slice that wax motherfucker in half. Just John Wilkes Bootham. Red, you draw your katana from George Washington, who honestly kind of deserved it. And a few feet away, you see something that just brings a smile to your exhausted face, framed as it is by your anachronistic Roman helmet. You see the pistol you threw as a distraction. So shoving the katana into the back of your breastplate, you go over and pick up your lost gun, while still, of course, keeping the whiskey bottle. There's a giant pile of dinosaurs, rough riders, and knights. There's an unmoving, weird manatee thing. There's a cut in half King Tutankhamun, but the two of you have survived the night at the museum, and also it's also the first time you've been able to touch base since this started. So you look at each other wearing your armor. What do you say?
It's true. You look ridiculous, both of you. That's amazing. You both look insane.
Adrian, I don't think we've ever looked better.
Why didn't you hide? You could have died.
I don't hide, Eddie.
Well, we're going to have a change in strategy in the future, because you're going to learn to hide, or I'm not going to let you leave the hospital.
And with that, the two of you meet up with old man Richter. Richter, you've managed to get to your feet. Honestly, the cost of sanity kind of helps you with this because you're a little too far gone to notice how bad things are. How do you greet your two returning companions?
If I'm still loopy from the drugs,
the laudanum, yes,
wild mind journey, and just my just like having my sanity like peeled back layer by layer, I think I'm just enthusiastically waving with a bloody hand, like splattering like my face and like the wall and floor a little bit with the enthusiasm of my wave.
And your
like,
other hand is intertwined with
I'm just holding a separate Betty's hand. The other one, yeah, down at my side. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just waving. Dear. We're gonna have to deal with him.
Hello.
Oh. You don't have to worry about him. He's the wizard Merlin. And I have been named King of the Britons.
I'm taking off my plate and my helmet and getting rid of all of that kind of nonsense.
I am cool. Not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
And so the three of you make your way to the loading dock exit. To hear on the loudspeaker outside...
We know you're in there. Come out with your hands up.
Oh, yeah. I kind of shot a museum guy.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Caitlin O, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Mount Absalom, a community, a heritage, a home. The green jewel in the majestic crown of Ohio, for 200 years, Mount Absalom has been a place to play.
N32.
Bingo!
A place to learn.
For in thy green and growing arms, we have everything we need.
All right. Now let's get out our math homework.
A place to work.
Here at the Celery Bottling Works, we produce over 2,000 bottles of celery soda every day.
A place to raise a family.
It's a girl.
It's a place of history.
And here we have the barrel of whiskey that Confederate soldiers stole from Mount Absalom patriot Amelia Pleasance during Morgan's raid.
And of course, a place of celery.
201st Celery Festival, I dub thee open!
Mount Absalom is the perfect place for making memories. For making memories.
for making memories. For making memories. For making memories. Make your memories with us. Make your memories here. In Absalom.
Paid for by the Delphic Order of Mount Absalom and Celeric Bottling Works. Refreshing Celeric Soda and Diet Celeric Soda.
Unwell, a Midwestern Gothic mystery. Learn more at unwellpodcast.com.